Welcome to this deep dive.
Yeah.
Today we're going to be looking at this really powerful concept.
Okay.
And it comes from William Ury.
Oh, yeah.
You know him, right? He's the negotiation expert.
Yeah, I do.
He wrote, Getting to Yes, Impossible.
Right.
So we're going to be looking at this interview he did called Insights at the Edge.
Ew.
And in it, he talks about this concept of possibilism.
Possibilism.
Not optimism.
Okay.
Not pessimism.
Gotcha.
But possibilism.
So what is that? What's possibilism?
Well, I'm going to ask you to explain it to us.
Okay, sure.
Because I think you can do a better job than I can.
Well, possibilism is basically the belief that, you know, we can transform even the most difficult conflicts, even when we don't know what the future holds.
Right.
Ury uses these amazing examples to illustrate it.
Yeah.
Like the end of apartheid in South Africa.
Totally. He also talks about how sectarian violence eased in Northern Ireland.
Yeah.
And then there's Colombia's 50-year civil war coming to an end.
Right. And he was involved in all of those situations firsthand.
So that's got to be.
Which is what makes his perspective so valuable.
Yeah. So valuable.
And what he learned from those experiences is that there's always this possibility for change, even when things seem really bleak.
Okay. So how does this like possibilism thing apply to, say, like those conversations where you're stuck talking to someone who's really negative? You know, the doom and gloom types.
Well, Ury's advice is to meet animosity with curiosity.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like that. But why does that work?
Because it kind of shifts the whole dynamic. Yeah. Instead of getting defensive or trying to like win the argument, you're showing genuine interest in their perspective. Yeah.
So it's more about understanding where they're coming from.
Exactly.
Than trying to change their mind.
Exactly. And that's what makes people feel heard and respected.
Right.
Which can then open up this space for dialogue.
Okay.
Yeah.
But it's not always easy to stay curious.
Right.
When someone's being difficult.
No, it's not. No.
So what's the trick?
Well, Ury talks about going to the balcony.
The balcony.
So imagine you're watching this play unfold on a stage below you.
Okay.
And you can see the actors, the set the audience all from this detached perspective.
Okay, I can picture that.
Yeah.
It sounds calming.
It is.
Like taking a step back from the emotional intensity of the situation.
Exactly. That's exactly it.
Okay.
He actually tells this really vivid story about being yelled at by Hugo Chavez.
Wait, what?
The former Venezuelan president.
He was in a shouting match with Hugo Chavez.
He was.
Tell me more.
Okay, so Ury was in Venezuela trying to mediate this tense political standoff.
Okay.
And he's called into this, like, late night meeting with Chavez.
Oh, boy.
Who has his entire cabinet present.
Okay.
And Chavez starts grilling Ury.
Oh, jeez.
Demanding his opinion on the situation.
Okay.
And when Ury suggests that some progress has been made, Chavez just explodes.
Wow.
Accusing him of being naive and siding with the opposition.
Talk about a pressure cooker.
Yeah, exactly.
So what did Ury do? Did he yell back?
No, he went to the balcony.
Wow.
Instead of reacting defensively, he remembers this trick a friend taught him, which was to pinch the palm of your hand.
Okay.
And this creates this momentary physical sensation that helps you snap out of an emotional reaction.
Huh. That's such a practical tip.
Right.
That's like a mental reset button.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it works.
He ordered.
The pinch gives Ury just enough space to observe his own feelings of fear and embarrassment and consciously choose a different response.
Right.
So he was able to stay calm, hear Chavez out, and ultimately de-escalate the situation.
So he took that mental step back.
Yeah.
And looked at the situation more objectively.
Yes.
Let's be honest.
Mm-hmm.
Can anyone really learn to do this balcony thing?
Oh.
I'm not exactly a meditation guru.
Anyone can learn to access this state of mind.
Okay.
And it's simpler than you might think.
Okay.
It's about finding techniques that work for you.
Okay. So what are some of those techniques?
Okay. Well.
Give us the goods.
Ury suggests things like taking a few deep breaths.
Okay.
Going for a walk in nature.
Mm-hmm.
Talking to a trusted friend. Or even just embracing silence for a few moments.
Silence.
Yeah, there's actually research from MIT showing that silence in a conversation can lead to more cooperation.
Huh. Okay.
Yeah.
This is making me rethink my whole approach to conflict.
Right.
But Ury goes even further than this, right?
Yeah.
He actually suggests that conflict can be a positive thing.
That's right. He believes that conflict, when handled constructively, can lead to better ideas.
Okay.
And stronger relationships.
Okay.
It might seem counterintuitive.
Yeah.
But it makes sense when you think about it.
All right. I'm intrigued. Explain it to me like I'm five.
Okay. So conflict is a natural part of life. It's not going away.
Right.
So the question is not how to avoid conflict.
Okay.
But how to handle it well.
Right.
And constructive conflict is actually the key to healthy relationships and creative solutions.
Okay.
So think about thriving marriages, productive workplaces, even successful democracies.
Okay.
They all embrace and manage conflict effectively.
Okay, I see what you mean.
Yeah.
But it's easy to talk about this in theory.
Right.
What about when you're dealing with those truly difficult people?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like that neighbor who's always causing drama over property lines?
Yeah, Yuri addresses that.
Okay.
He talks about the 3A trap.
The 3A trap.
Yeah, the three unhelpful patterns we often fall into when faced with conflict. Avoid, accommodate, or attack.
Oh, yeah, those are the classics.
Yeah.
And I'm guessing they usually don't work out that well.
They almost always make the situation worse.
Okay, so what's the alternative?
Yeah.
What's the possibilist approach?
The possibilist approach is about leaning in.
Good.
Not giving up on connection.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of resorting to the three A's,
right.
We can approach the conflict with curiosity.
Okay.
Trying to understand the other person's perspective and needs.
Okay, so even when it's really, really tough,
yeah.
We got to try to stay curious.
Yes.
All right, but what about those people who truly seem impossible?
Uh-huh.
Surely Uri has encountered a few of those in his work, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, so what does he do?
He uses that impossibility as motivation.
Okay.
He's a possibilist at heart.
All right, I love it.
He tells this incredible story about this Brazilian supermarket magnate who's locked in this bitter feud with his business partner.
Okay.
And this conflict had been dragging on for years.
Oh, wow.
Filled with lawsuits, media battles, the whole nine yards.
So it seemed like there was no way out.
It seemed like there was no way out.
Okay, this is where it gets interesting.
Yeah.
So what happened?
So instead of just focusing on those surface demands, Erdi decided to dig deeper.
Okay.
He asked the magnate, what do you really want?
Hmm.
Initially, he got those like standard business answers.
Oh, you know, stock options.
Yeah, yeah.
Company control, that sort of thing.
Yeah, all that.
Okay.
But Erdi persisted. He could sense there was something more to the story.
What was the real issue?
It turns out the magnate's deepest desire was freedom.
Freedom.
And this wasn't some like abstract concept.
Right.
Years earlier, he'd been kidnapped and held hostage.
All right.
And this experience left him with this really profound need for control and autonomy, which was actually driving this whole business conflict.
So it's like the business battle was really a symptom of a much deeper personal struggle.
Exactly. And it just highlights this power of listening.
Yeah.
You know, we have two ears and one mouth for a reason.
Right.
And by truly listening, Yuri was able to uncover that hidden need and ultimately find a solution that addressed it.
It's like those conflict resolution posters you see that say, it's not about the orange, it's about the principle.
Right.
But here it's even deeper than that, you know?
Yeah.
It's about understanding the emotions and experiences driving the behavior.
You nailed it. And Yuri emphasizes that sometimes the best outcomes don't involve reaching like a perfect agreement. It's more about transforming the relationship itself.
Hold on.
Yeah.
What does that even look like if you're not actually agreeing on anything?
It's about creating a space for respectful disagreement.
Okay.
You know? Think of it as building a strong container for the conflict.
Hmm.
Signs of a transformed relationship include being able to listen to each other.
Okay.
Even when you disagree.
Right.
And understanding the why behind those differences.
So it's less about winning.
Right.
And more about building understanding and respect.
Exactly.
Even when you disagree.
Precisely. And this brings us to Furry's third big idea, the third side.
Okay, the third side.
Yeah.
This one is intriguing.
Yeah.
Where did this concept come from?
So this idea is actually rooted in Uri's anthropological research with the Kumsan people of the Kalahari.
Kumsan.
Yeah, they're hunter-gatherers.
Okay.
With a fascinating approach to conflict resolution.
Okay, tell me more about the Kumsan.
Okay, well, Uri observed that for the Kumsan conflict isn't just between like two individuals or factions, the entire community gets involved.
Right.
So when a dispute arises, everyone gathers around.
Okay.
They talk it out. Mm-hmm. They listen.
Okay.
And they don't stop until they reach a resolution that restores harmony.
That's so different from our usual adversarial approach to conflict.
Right.
Where it's all about, you know, winning and losing.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
And Uri actually saw parallels
Okay.
between the Kumsan's community-based conflict resolution and his own experience in South Africa during apartheid.
Okay.
Remember how we talked about all those like seemingly impossible situations transforming?
Right.
Well, in South Africa, it wasn't just about negotiations between the government and the ANC.
Okay.
It was about a mobilized third side.
Okay.
You know, the business community, labor unions, fake leaders, everyday citizens, all pushing for change. And this internal pressure was then amplified by a global third side.
Okay.
So you have international sanctions, boycotts, and pressure from other countries.
So it's like having this whole ecosystem of support and pressure working together to create the conditions for change.
Exactly.
It really does take a village.
It does.
But let's get real. There are some conflicts out there that seem so entrenched.
Yes.
So intractable.
Right.
That the third side almost seems to make things worse. Take the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, for example, with that conflict.
Yeah.
It often feels like everyone's just adding fuel to the fire.
Right.
Each side digging in their heels even further.
Yeah.
How does Uri's idea of the third side apply in a situation like that?
That's a great question. And Uri argues that even in those seemingly hopeless situations, the principles of the balcony and the third side still apply.
Okay.
It's about shifting the questions we ask.
Okay.
Instead of focusing on who wins,
yep.
we need to ask, how can two peoples live together?
That's a powerful reframing.
Right.
It's about moving beyond that win-lose mentality.
Right.
And looking for solutions that benefit everyone involved.
Exactly.
But how do we move from these like lofty ideals to concrete action? I mean, what can I, as just one person, actually do about these huge, complex conflicts?
Well, Uri's message is that the same principles that apply on a global scale also work in our everyday lives.
Okay.
And he tells this incredibly poignant story about President Carter at Camp David.
Okay.
You know, struggling to salvage the peace accords between Egypt and Israel. And at one point, everything was about to fall apart.
Oh, geez.
And Carter went to speak to Prime Minister Begin.
Okay.
Who was furious and ready to walk away.
Right.
But instead of arguing or making demands, Carter appealed to Begin's humanity.
Okay.
He reminded him of his grandchildren and the legacy that he wanted to leave, a legacy of peace, not war.
Wow, that's powerful. It really shows that even small acts of human connection can have a ripple effect.
Exactly. And Uri emphasizes that conflict, no matter the scale, is ultimately created and resolved by human beings.
Right.
Which brings me to my final question for you.
Okay.
Uri has dedicated his life to understanding and transforming conflict.
Yeah.
How has this work changed him personally?
Yeah, that's a great question.
Uri reflects on how his journey actually began in childhood.
Okay.
You know, growing up in the shadow of World War II. And he was really troubled by this idea that humans couldn't find ways to get along.
Right.
This question became his driving force. And what's fascinating is that instead of becoming hardened or cynical, Uri found that going into the heart of darkness, those conflict zones, those impossible situations, actually brought him a sense of aliveness and fulfilling connections.
That's incredibly inspiring.
Yeah.
It's like the saying, the wound is the place where the light enters. It's in those challenging, sometimes painful situations that we often discover our greatest strength and purpose.
Exactly. And to illustrate this point, Uri shares a story about his own daughter, Gabby.
Okay. I'm definitely intrigued.
Yeah.
What's so special about Gabby?
Gabby was born with a number of physical challenges.
Okay.
She had multiple surgeries and faced limitations that most of us can't even imagine.
Wow.
But she refused to be defined by her challenges.
I'm getting a sense that this is going to be a story about resilience and defying expectations.
You got it. Gabby always wanted to be in the Guinness Book of World Records.
Okay.
And one day when she was 15, she discovered that she had this incredible talent for holding a plank.
A plank?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She practiced relentlessly.
Oh.
And on her 16th birthday, she attempted to break the world record.
Oh, man, the suspense is killing me.
For the longest female abdominal plank.
Did she do it?
She did.
Wow.
She held the plank for an hour and 20 minutes.
What?
Doubling the previous world record.
Get out.
She went on to appear on Good Morning America.
Wow.
Received her Guinness World Records medal.
That's amazing.
And even gave a TED Talk titled, What's Wrong With Me? Absolutely nothing.
What a fantastic story.
Yeah.
It sounds like Gabby embodies the possibilist mindset perfectly.
She really does. And her story is this great reminder that possibilism isn't just about resolving these global conflicts.
Right.
It's about approaching every challenge, mm-hmm. big or small,
yeah.
with this spirit of resilience, creativity, yeah. and hope.
It really is a powerful story, and it ties back to something you mentioned at the beginning
yeah.
about feeling stuck in conversations with those negative people.
Right.
Gabby's story is this powerful reminder that even when faced with negativity, mm-hmm. we can still choose to approach the situation with curiosity.
Exactly.
And look for those possibilities.
That's the heart of Yuri's message.
Yeah.
He's urging all of us to tap into our inner possibilist.
Right.
To apply those tools of curiosity,
mm-hmm.
the balcony perspective, and the power of the third side.
Not just to global conflicts, but to our own lives.
It's about equipping ourselves with the tools to navigate any conflict.
Right.
Whether it's a global crisis or a disagreement with a loved one.
Exactly.
And who knows?
Yeah.
Maybe by embracing these tools, we could even become catalysts for positive change in our own communities.
Yeah.
Just like the third side that Yuri describes.
And ultimately, that's what Yuri's asking of us,
mm-hmm.
to become agents of transformation,
mm.
to believe in the possibility of a better future.
Okay.
And to actively work towards it.
Right.
One conversation,
mm-hmm.
one interaction,
yeah.
one conflict at a time.
So as we wrap up our deep dive today,
yeah.
we leave you with this final thought-provoking question. What will your unique contribution as a possibilist be?
Mm-hmm.
How will you use these powerful tools to make a difference?
Yeah.
Both in your own life and in the world around you. It really is a powerful story. And it's like he's giving us this whole new way of seeing the world.
Right.
One that's full of potential and possibility. And that's a really empowering message.
Yeah.
Especially when we're faced with those like seemingly impossible situations.
Right.
It reminds me of that quote.
Okay.
The world is full of magic things, patiently waiting for our senses to grow sharper. I love that quote.
Yeah. And Yuri's work is all about helping us sharpen those senses
mm-hmm.
to see the possibilities that are all around us,
right.
even in the midst of conflict and chaos.
Yeah.
So to bring it back to our listener.
Okay.
If you're feeling stuck.
Yeah.
If you're facing a challenge that seems insurmountable.
Mm-hmm.
Remember those three key takeaways from our deep dive today?
Okay.
Curiosity.
Yeah.
The balcony perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And the power of the third side.
Right.
These aren't just abstract concepts.
Well,
they're practical tools that you can use to transform any situation.
And the beauty of these tools is that they're available to everyone.
Right.
You don't need any special training or expertise
yeah.
to be a possibilist.
Mm-hmm.
It's simply a choice.
Mm-hmm. A way of looking at the world and approaching life's challenges.
Exactly. And remember, like Yuri says,
yeah.
conflict is a natural part of life.
Right.
It's not going away.
It's not. Yeah.
But how we choose to handle it.
Yeah.
That's what makes all the difference.
Right.
Will we fall into those old patterns of avoidance, accommodation, or attack?
Yeah.
Or will we embrace the possibility of something better, something more transformative?
It's up to each of us to decide.
Yeah.
And as we wrap up this deep dive,
okay.
we encourage you to reflect on what your unique contribution as a possibilist might be.
Mm-hmm.
How will you use these tools to make a difference,
yeah.
both in your own life and in the world around you?
Because remember, as William Marie so eloquently reminds us,
yeah.
if we can transform conflict,
mm-hmm.
we can transform everything.
And that's a future worth fighting for.
Absolutely. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive.
Yeah, thanks for listening.
We'll see you next time.